A few weeks ago, Ron asked me to preach, and he had to take care of stuff around the house. So I just was a little shocked when I walked in this morning. The first person I ran into was Ron. I thought he wouldn't be here, but... And you would think that preaching in front of the senior pastor would give you a little bit of nerves. But it really doesn't, because I get more nervous preaching in front of my wife than I do preaching in front of Ron. And a little small story before we get started. Jennifer and I started dating when she was 15 and I was 17 years old. And we dated through high school and we decided to go to college together. We went to Kentucky Christian College. And I was studying in the ministry and she was a middle school teacher studying for her degree. And my senior project, I had to preach in front of the entire college. So my first time preaching was from in front of 700-800 people. And I was a little nervous. And I studied and I prepared and I worked my tail off, because my first time preaching in front of that many people, I was just a little nervous. And I preached, and for my first time, it wasn't actually that bad. I found out maybe a few weeks later, maybe a few days later, that Jennifer had told me one of my deciding factors in marrying you was whether I could listen to your preaching or not. And I was thinking, oh, dear God, thank you for not telling me that before I preached. I think I would have just panicked and blood drawn out of my face. So we dated for 7 years. We've been married for 18. We have 4 kids. So hopefully she still likes my preaching. But you got to get a little bit of nerves in you when you get ready to deliver the word of God. I want to read to you today's text, Romans 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And today's sermon will be based on the next verse. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Norman Vincent Peale said this: conformity is one of the fundamental dishonesties of all. When we reject our specialness, water down our God-given individuality, we begin to lose our freedom. The conformist is no longer a free man. He has to follow the herd. James Dobson said this: one of the great American myths is that we are a nation of rugged individualists. We really have ourselves fooled at this point. In truth, we are a nation of social cowards. A major proportion of our energy is expended to try to be like everyone else, cringing in a fear of true individuality. And truth is, both men are correct. We want to be individuals, but most of us really conform to the world around us. And I was trying to think of some modern ways of telling you this, of how we try to conform to the world. Now, I think back to my own life. One of the greatest things I ever thought about becoming like other people was my first day of high school. I don't know if you like you. My first day, I'd left middle school. Me and my friends got to that first day of high school, about 1,500, 1,800 people. And we kind of sat up against the wall, and we tried to observe everybody. And back then, I'm sure it is today, there's sections of people that all look alike. We had our jocks. We had our cheerleaders. We had our drama people. Being from Tennessee, we had our redneck group. We had our people that you really don't want to hang around with. We had your people that, the nerds or the high IQ people, I guess, in politically correct world. And we had a group of, I don't know if this still exists, we have a group of skateboarders. That was in my high school. I don't know if you had a group of skaters, but that was in our high school. And we had to try to pick, okay, which group do I want to be like? And you spend that first few days, that first week kind of trying to like, I don't think I'll hang out with this group. Well, they don't really like me, so I just kind of go over this group. And you finally find a place that you fit in, that you try to be like the other people. And that's one way that we try to conform. You pick people that you want to be like, and that's how it is. Another way is, I learned this after I got married. I grew up outside of Knoxville, so I'm a huge Tennessee Vols fan. So forgive me if you're not a Tennessee Vols fan. And when I had kids, I was like, oh, yes, I can dress them in all the orange that I want them to. And I could have put up pictures and embarrassed my kids, but I had them in Tennessee orange. Talked to Jennifer about it first. They had Tennessee Vols passies. They had Burt cloths. They had everything Tennessee orange. And then they grew up. And I'll never forget this day. I can't remember if we were a Tanger or a... or in Commerce, Georgia. But me and the boys went into the sports store. And Zachary came to me and said, with my own money, I want to buy an Alabama Crimson Tide shirt. I'm like, first of all, I panicked. Second of all, I pulled him outside and we had about a 10, 15 minute conversation. And Jennifer calmly talked to me and said, he's got to be his own person. And so I acquiesced and let him buy a Roll Tide shirt. And then Josiah wanted to be a Bulldog fan. I'm like, Lord, have mercy on me. And so he's got a Georgia Bulldog shirt and hat. And so now we go around with Vols and Bulldogs and Roll Tides in our shirts. I can't make them be like me anymore. I let them have their own choices. And do I still love Zachary and Josiah? Oh, you bet. Are they out of my will? You better believe it. But I couldn't make them conform to my desires anymore. I had to let them express themselves the way they wanted to be treated. You see, the natural thing is to conform to this world. Last week, Ron talked about looking at Paul's command to present ourselves as living and holy sacrifices acceptable to God. Well, today, Apostle Paul is confronting another major issue, conformity to the world around us. He's writing this to believers, as Christians, people like us who love God, the church, Christians, they had a major problem with conformity. Another thought is, another way we conform to the world is, I think the biggest place we do is this church parking lot. For you that have kids, have you ever argued and fussed and fight about radio or whatever on the way to church, and as soon as you pull in the parking lot, you put your game faces on? You might be yelling at your kid woman, but as soon as you get out there, you're just smiling like Jesus loves you, like nobody's business. But that trip there wasn't very godly-like, but when you pulled out of the car, got out of the car to go to church, everybody started looking the same. That's another way we conform to the world. We don't let people see our true selves. We had to put on a mask, so to say. You see, God is today talking to us about how to live a pleasing life and how to become different than the world. Let's see what he has to say to us today. I think the first thing he would say to us today is be a transformer. Do not be conformed. And no, I'm not talking about Autobots or Decepticons or any of that kind of transformers. I'm not talking about electrical work. I'm talking about being a radically different person. You see, the word conformed here refers to an outward expression that does not reflect what is within. It carries the idea of putting on an act, masquerading, so to say. The idea here is that we are not allowing something that is in us. We don't really want that to happen. It's kind of like your audio doesn't match your visual. You say one thing, but you don't really mean it, and you act a different way. What is in your heart is not reflective of your actions. You see, the Apostle Paul is saying we are not to allow ourselves to be conformed to this world. J.B. Phillips' translation says this, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. You know, we need to stop listening to the world and what it's trying to tell us to be. I don't know if many of you know Stacy Allison. She was the first American woman to scale the summit of Mount Everest. She said this, you've got to decide sometimes in your life when it's okay not to listen to what other people want to say. If I had listened to other people, I wouldn't have climbed Mount Everest. You see, when you listen to the world, you're going to be the loser. What a loss it would have been if Miss Allison had conformed to what the world was saying. The world was telling her, no woman should ever climb Mount Everest. It's too hard. It's too difficult. You'll never make it. But she didn't listen to what the world was saying. She fought her own desires, her own motivations, and she became the first woman to climb Mount Everest. You see, we're not to be conformed to this world. There's something I found very interesting was this. The world, as Paul was saying, is translated as the age, referring to the sinful age, not exactly to what the world looks like, but what the world is saying through its philosophies, its actions. You see, this world is dominated by Satan. You see, when Adam and Eve was tempted and fell into sin, it wasn't just them who suffered. It was also the world. The world was its own Garden of Eden. It was pleasant to God. But when sin entered the world, it also destroyed what the earth was supposed to be like. And so now the earth is a tool of Satan to be transformed when Christ comes back. John wrote this: "We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." Well, how do we conform to the world's pattern? Well, I think it involves some of these following ways, and you can follow along with me. We have the right to have all our desires fulfilled. We deserve it. We have a right to pursue and use power. We have a right to abuse people. We have a right to accumulate wealth for purely selfish reasons. We have a right to use our personal abilities and wisdom for self-advancement rather than service to others. And we have the right to ignore or even hate God. And if you looked at all those reasons I just gave you, what is the main underlying theme? It's all focused on self instead of other people and to God. And see, that's what this world tries to teach us. Do what is pleasing for you. Do what makes you happy. Forget other people. You have the right to do whatever you want as long as it brings you joy and fulfillment. It doesn't matter what other people say. And so we forsake relationships, pleasure, God-given rights because we think about ourselves and not other people. And that's what the world is trying to teach us. And that's what he's saying. Do not be conformed to this world. Let your thinking be Christ's thinking. Where after it says, do not be a transformer, it says, be transformed. We are commanded to allow ourselves to be changed outwardly, to redeem our inner nature. I love this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone was in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. You see, salvation brings a change in the inner nature. And that's what we wrestle with as Christians and sometimes as non-believers. We have that desire in our heart to do something that is contrary to the will of God. We want to do what matters to us and not what matters to God. And it's kind of like that battle. But you see, when we give our lives to God, that battle doesn't stop. We have the power to conquer, but we still have to feed our spiritual nature and make it grow so we can win that battle on a daily basis. Many of you who claim to be Christians are facing temptation now. You have habits you're not proud of. You have decisions that you regret. You have things in this life that if you allow it to, it'll bring you down. But you see, we have a new creation when Christ gave that power through the death of his son. When you have a right relationship with God, you get the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within you. And as a result of that change, when the Holy Spirit works in your nature, in your spiritual nature, your outward walk changes as well. The things you used to do, you don't do anymore because you have the Holy Spirit working through you. The new that has come is a result of the new life in Christ. Ephesians 4 reads this: "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." You see, that's what we were created for. But when we realize what we were created for, that's when Satan likes to start trying to influence us. I like to think of it like this: Satan doesn't have to work on you if he's already got you. If you're a non-believer, he doesn't have to work too hard. He just has to keep you comfortable the way you are. But when you decide to live your life for Jesus, well, then that's when he puts on his best effort. When you decide to live for Christ, that's when he attacks the most. Think about when you were baptized, when you gave your life to Jesus. Probably that first few weeks afterwards, probably when you were tempted the most, because he's got to get you before you get on fire for Jesus. But what are these fears that keep us from living a full potential in life? The fear of what my friends will think. They know me as a certain type of person. Maybe they know you as a party animal, an alcoholic, a person whose morals were not very good. And I try to talk to my kids about this, but it is so hard to change your reputation once you've already got one. If people know you as a dishonest, lying person, the first time you tell the truth, they're not going to believe you. You've got to work so hard to change your reputation, and it takes a lifetime to change your reputation. One mistake and you could be damaged for the rest of your life. Doesn't mean you can't start over and walk new, but it takes so much effort to change your character or your reputation once it's become tainted or polluted. The fear of failure. What if I cannot change? I'm confident that more people found life because they cannot do it, but they are afraid to step out and do it. The fear of failure keeps small churches small and God's people afraid of change. You see, we don't like to get out of our comfortable zone because we're afraid of what people may think. What if I cannot change? What if I cannot fit the bill that Christianity is supposed to look like? Probably the biggest one for me is the fear of past mistakes. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you feel bad for the things you've done in your life? I know I have, and I wrestle with it. Some things that have happened 10, 15, 20 years ago still haunt me to this day that I cannot get over, but I try on a regular basis. You may have tried once before to change, and it didn't work. It takes effort to change. It takes not thinking about the past. That's why Paul says press forward, because if you look back, you're never going to succeed in life because it takes your focus off of the prize. And I urge you today to let go of your past mistakes and focus on the future, because that's what God has in store for you. Some of us fear that we really don't want to change. We kind of like the way we are. For us to live for Jesus is to give up some things that we really don't want to give up. And that's a struggle for us. One more. Satan has some of you believing you can't trust God. What happened in the garden with Adam and Eve still haunts us to this day. Did God really say you can't eat of this? Did God really say you're not going to have any fun? Does God's word really say that your life can change? And we begin to doubt God and live for self. You say the only way the transformation comes through is through the working of the Holy Spirit. He continues to work a good work in us if we only allow him to. He can help you overcome the fears Satan has placed in your life. He can help you overcome the issues you deal with each and every day. He can help you regain your joy in life. You see, you may want to change now, but without the help of the Holy Spirit, you'll have limited success. You're going to try to do it on your terms. And when we try to do things on our own terms, usually it doesn't go very well. I remember one of my biggest frustrations is, I don't even remember which child, me and Jeff were trying to put together a bicycle in a garage. And if you've ever tried to put a bicycle together, you lose your patience and you get ticked off pretty quickly. And I remember Jennifer and I were in the garage. We were trying to put this. And you know what? I have a habit of trying to do things without reading the instructions. People say it's a guy thing. Okay, it is. I try to do things without the instructions, and Jennifer comes on, calms me down, reads the instructions, and we usually get things done. I guess that's the key to a successful marriage. But we try to do things on our own terms. If I tried to put that bicycle by myself together, it wouldn't have gone very well. It wouldn't have made it out of the garage. But with help, it got done. And see, with your help and your Christian walk, if you try to do it alone, it's not going to go very well. You see, the Holy Spirit achieves this transformation by the renewing of your minds. And that's what we talked about earlier. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, we're to give our minds to God. And you know, this may sound simple at first, but we need to give our minds to God and allow him to control over the things we see, hear, and participate in each day. Sometimes we allow our minds to become polluted. And sometimes is it always the best thing? No. I've had many disagreements with my kids about, you know what, we can't watch this. Or, you know what, we can't listen to this. Or, you know what, we can't go here. And sometimes it seems like an endless cycle of me telling my kids, no, but it's not because I want to make them have any less joy. It's because I want them to not be squeezed out of the joy of living a Christian life. See, when you give your mind over to Christ, the things you receive into your mind, what you read, what you look at, It either helps your mind or it corrupts your mind. I wish I'd have put this down in the bulletin, but listen to this statement. If the world controls your thinking, you're a conformer. If God controls your thinking, you're a transformer. You see, there's this much deliberate act as giving our souls to God. When we decided to give our life for Jesus, we gave our body, we gave our soul, and we gave our mind to Jesus. And when we're not constantly trying to renew our mind, we're falling back. If you're not consistently in the Word, if you're not consistently in prayer or about the Lord's work, you know what? You're actually taking a few steps back in your Christian walk. You see, the outward transformation is affected by an inner change in the mind. You want your outside to match your inside? It will. If you have corruption on the inside, that's what your outside is going to look like. If you want to have a spiritual life, then your mind and your heart has to be in tune with the Father. What takes place in our minds affects how we act. And I've heard Ron say it many times. If you listen to a lot of profanity, chances are you're probably over time going to speak profanity. If you constantly watch things you're not supposed to watch, that's what's going to stay in your mind. You see, what we put in stays in. And eventually it will come out how you act. If you tell a lie, eventually over time, it's going to be easier to tell a lie. And you're eventually going to be known as a liar. And we talked about earlier how it is to change your character and your reputation. It's difficult. James 1 says this, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own heart or his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Think about sin. To sin, first has to come into your mind and your heart, and then it comes out in how you express it. If we continually pour into our minds negative things, what do you think is going to come out? Negative things. If we feed our bodies unhealthy food, are you going to get in shape? No. If I say I want to lose 50 pounds, but I eat a box of Twinkies every day, it's probably not going to help my goal. But if I eat nutritious, if I watch how I exercise, if I do the right things that I know to do, then my goals will be accomplished. If you want to be on fire for Jesus, but you're not willing to do the things to make you on fire, then you have no right to complain. You know the things you need to do. The tool the Holy Spirit uses is the Word of God. David said this in Psalm 119, "Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee." You see, when we give our lives to Jesus, God gives us the Holy Spirit. And through the reading of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit, then it can change our hearts. You see, sometimes we have a habit of just reading the Bible and not allowing the Holy Spirit to work through, and it just becomes like reading another book. I don't know about y'all, but have you ever read a book, picked up a book to read, and you read it, you put it down, you go to the next one, you can't really remember what that book was like? How often do we treat the Bible like that? We read the Bible, the book of Matthew, and we read it just like any other novel. We put it down, and we keep on going living, but the book of Matthew doesn't change our heart. How can that be? You see, the Holy Spirit uses God's word to change our life. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You see, the challenge before us is to be in the Word. And the reason why a lot of Christians never mature is because they're never in the Word of God to allow them to grow. We don't read it. We don't listen to it. And sometimes you may even tune out what the preacher is saying because you're worried about where you're going to go for lunch. How many of you have read one chapter in God's Word this year? What about in the last 6 months? How many of you read a chapter of God's Word in the last week? Please don't raise your hands because we'd probably be embarrassed. You see, the reason we struggle so much is because there's no Word of God within us. And I think it's kind of funny that I was getting ready to preach on this because in our Sunday school class, Jonathan read the entire book of James. It's kind of funny how God's word matches up what we learn in Sunday school and church sometimes. And so we sat and we read the whole book of James. It's just amazing how the word of God can be preached and taught. And when we renew our minds, it's a lot easier to give our will over to God. You see, your mind controls your body, and your will controls your mind. As I talked about earlier, many people think they control their willpower, but they usually fail. We surrender our wills to God, our will to God through disciplined time in the Word of God. It's only through a renewed mind that the Word of God can ever do the will of God in our lives. A transformed mind produces a transformed will. When the mind of Christ says the basis for living, the reason for life is to serve God, how's your service to God going? You see, the more we live with the will of God before us, the more we must conform to the will of our lives. And it's amazing how God can speak to you through miraculous things. The Lord willing, me and Zach are going to go on the mission trip to Mexico in December. And I really wasn't too sure about it until sometimes the Word of God just kind of speaks to you. I was still on the edge of it. And then Jason showed that couple that we're going to be building the house for. And man, I started crying because we're building, he'd lost his leg. And we're building it. And you know what? My dad had lost both of his legs before he died. I was just like, you know what? Man, that speaks to me because I know what it's like to help someone who can't walk, who can't do things for himself. And so that kind of spoke to me because, you know what? I had to help my dad get out of bed sometimes because of a busted, because of no legs. There's things he couldn't do because of his disability. When I saw that, he's like, it's just a confirmation that I'm doing what God wants me to do. And so Lord willing, I'm going to go on that trip with Zachary in December. But it's amazing how God speaks to you through those moments when you're in tune with him. You see, when we give our will to God, we live by his will, whether it feels good or not. Sometimes you don't want to give up those extra few minutes to read the Bible because you know what? You need that sleep. But if we make it a habit of studying God's word on a daily basis, we'll make that time. Today, some of you want to be transformed, but you're afraid. And I'm going to close on this. Renewing your mind is difficult. Conforming to the world is easier to do. But if you don't want to be more like the world, then you're going to have to take these steps. And you're going to have to train your children, and they're going to train their children. It's a generational thing. It's so much easier to be like other people. It takes true uniqueness to be like what God wanted you to be. And I know it's hard. And so go ahead and stand up, and I just want to offer a prayer for us and for you. And if you're struggling on whether you can conform to the world, if it's that easy for you, you need the power to break from it, God is willing to meet you here and help you break that cycle. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your word, Lord. I thank you for speaking to us today, Lord. Lord, it's so easy to be conformed to this world if we don't take the time to follow you. And Lord, some of us need to make that decision to live for Christ. Some of us have been following the world a little too long than we should, and we need that direction back into your will, Lord. And we pray for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Lord, if we don't know you, I pray that today is the day that we accept you as the Lord and Savior of our life. And Lord, if we need to do a U-turn in the way we're living, Lord, allow us the power to be able to say, yes, I want to live for you, Lord. I don't want to live for the world any longer. Thank you, God, for the power of the Holy Spirit to change our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.